Remember, remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder, treason, and plot. I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot.
Ladies and gentlemen, fellow slaves of the plantation, welcome to the Vinny Eastwood Show. It's Vinny with a Y because it's the most important question, and Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinny Eastwood Show. The only thing worse than the truth is Vinny's jokes.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio for the benefit of the intelligence agencies listening, because we all know that how up-to-date they like to keep. Now, my very special guest joining me today for an hour will be Derek Tyler. Derek, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Vinny. Nice to be here.
I understand that you've just recently become an Amazon's best-selling author kind of thing overnight after being on, Coast to Coast AM?
Yeah, it was Coast to Coast. It was Art Bell's old show. It's hosted by Connie Willis now. And there was such a big response to that show that I got 400 hits on my friend request list on Facebook the next day, and the sales spiked through the roof for a little while, and the book shot up to number one. Well, I don't think it's still there, but it was for a moment, and that's all that matters.
That's beautiful, man. That's what happens when you've got 29 million listeners. Okay, so let's talk about UFOs then, all right? So firstly, what's the name of your book there?
The name of the book is called Alien Contact, The Difficult Truth. It's available on Amazon.
Okay. Now, the name of this game here is, if it's not strange, then it's probably got nothing to do with aliens.
That seems to be the way of the world. If it's not out of the box, it probably doesn't have aliens responsible for it, because their technology is far beyond anything we can imagine. We can't even guess what they're capable of, because some of these civilizations are literally millions of years ahead of us. And just as, I mean, if you go back 100 years in our time, we're doing things every day that they thought were impossible. We can't even imagine what they'd be doing in a million years. They're beyond science fiction.
Yeah, yeah. So sci-fi that it's beyond sci-fi.
And it is. Some of the strangest stories that you hear end up to be true.
Mm. Well, if that alien technology is so far ahead of us, and it's created by an alien mind at the same frickin' time here, the capacity for human beings to understand it and more or less actually have an ability to comprehend the universe in which we dwell is somewhat diminished, I think.
Well, I think that we probably will never have the ability to understand much of their technology. And that's really not even just my thoughts. That's the feeling of the military as well. They believe that some of the technology which they've been loaned or given by the aliens is beyond the capacity of humans to ever truly understand, and much less be able to replicate ourselves. Some of it they've been managed to back engineer, but some of it is just, it's so far over our heads that we can't even comprehend it.
Unless you were Nikola Tesla.
Yes. Yes, he could comprehend a lot of things that we, the rest of us, can't.
Yeah, well,
they stole all of his notes when he died, and that they got time travel technology from his notes, largely.
Mm. Now, what's the difference between an alien abduction and a military abduction? Because if the military is using alien technology and that kind of thing, they'd probably be able to get away with it, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they can get away with it, and they have been getting away with it. And there's a far larger percentage of the abductions than people realize are being pulled off by the military rather than aliens. And they have various ways they utilize in order to make it appear that it is an alien abduction that's taking place. So that the logic to them is, if someone talks about it, then everybody will think they're crazy and not listen, and we won't get caught. And this way they never have to be held responsible, because, of course, it's a capital crime.
And, of course,
the
military, being run by psychopaths, taking responsibility and being caught for what they actually do isn't high on the agenda.
Right, because it's not, of course, it's not the whole military, many, I'm sure the majority of the military is doing what they're supposed to be doing. But these people in the black ops programs, they have the ability to operate completely above the law with complete anonymity. And this alien technology that they utilize gives them the ability to do things such as abduct civilians with complete impunity. There's no way to catch them.
And wasn't there a treaty between aliens and humans actually pertaining to, like, harvesting rights of the U.S. population back in the day? Was it the Eisenhower?
There's a treaty signed under Eisenhower. So they realized at the time that they had no effective defense against these aliens. They were just kind of getting used to the idea that we were being visited, I guess. And they didn't have any way to defend the population. They didn't have any way to stop them from overflying our territory at will, doing what they wanted. We couldn't catch their craft. We couldn't outmaneuver them. They would just fly right away from us, even our fastest fighters. And they were already abducting people. They've apparently been doing that for quite a very long time. So the military basically said, well, we will take what we can get, and we'll give them permission to do these things that they're doing anyway already, and we can't stop. So the deal that was made, both sides agreed to not release the news that they were here. They both agreed to keep it undercover because it made both of their lives easier by doing that. And basically the aliens agreed to give us occasional advances in technology. Mostly the military was interested in military technology, of course. But some of the advances have been in other areas. And in exchange, we gave them official permission to live here, to overfly our territory without being hassled or being attacked. We haven't always kept our word to that. We gave them permission to abduct a certain number of our citizens per year with the stipulation that they would provide us yearly with a list of names of the people they had abducted. And they were given permission to kill some of our people if they were found to be genetically defective. And we also agreed to build at our expense a number of undersea and underground bases, which were either jointly occupied or were for the aliens' use alone. They already had bases of their own here and have had for many years. The reptilians particularly live in underground caverns. They started out, most of them, I understand, as natural cavern systems and were later enlarged. But I'm told they can be as deep as 25 miles under the ground. And I've also heard recently that they have begun extending and enlarging these systems so that they extend underneath most of our major cities now. In other words, if we want to attack their bases, we have to take out our city first to get to them.
Interesting. Well, when you're getting down deep into the earth, you're talking about an enormous amounts of heat. How are they dealing with that?
Well, they like it that way. They're reptilians. They like it to be hot. They like it to be nice and warm. And they've basically agreed to, for the most part, stay underground as long as we keep them fed. There are a number of different types of reptilian beings. The Draco seem to be the leaders. They're supposedly the royalty caste. And I don't know about the others. I don't know that this pertains to the others. But the Draco are known to feed on humans. They seem to become addicted to adrenaline-soaked human flesh. And so what they do is they will take, and they prefer babies and young children because their flesh hasn't yet been polluted by nicotine and caffeine and all the other things that we do to our bodies. And they will take these children and they will basically torture them. And they will scare them as much as they can in order to flush their bodies with adrenaline. Sometimes they will amputate a hand, for instance.
That's almost identical to the stories that we hear about Illuminati child sacrifice cults.
It is indeed.
In the United States. So did they get that from them, did they?
Well, they probably get that from the reptilians, yes. That's kind of a complicated story, but the reptilians will not eat, the Draco will not eat anything apparently which has not been freshly killed. So they basically, after these kids have been terrified, they will then consume them alive. And the cults that you were just referring to, well, the thing about the Draco is they look exactly like the spitting image of our depiction of Satan. They've got vestigial wings. They've got horns. They're about 8 foot tall. And they look just like what we would picture Satan to look like. And so, they are what's known as hyperdimensional beings. They exist naturally in a dimension which is inaccessible to us. And we can't see them unless they pop through into our dimension. They have the ability to do that, at least for certain periods of time. It takes a lot of energy, apparently, to do it. But they can, in their native dimension, they can be present in the room with you and you won't know it. They can be standing there looking at you, and they can act as energy vampires. They can literally drain the energy from your aura and use it to feed themselves energetically. And they can manipulate people's situations so that they are put into situations where they start projecting emotions of a very strong nature, such as heartbreak, bitterness, anger, fear. They love fear. And when we feel those emotions, they're very strong emotions, and we put out a lot of energy when we feel them because they're so intense. And that energy is released through our aura and is basically vacuumed up by these reptilians and used to power their own selves.
Now, you say that the world's actually being silently colonized by these creatures. You know, they're being using hybrids to get into the society, right? And they're slowly changing our genetic makeup by inserting themselves into the population.
Yes, it seems that way. The classic ETs, the grays with the big dark eyes, I believe that those are actually eye covering rather than their natural eyes. But the ones that we're all familiar with, they're not a naturally occurring species. They are a genetically engineered race, which was created by the reptilians thousands of years ago as an experiment in creating intelligent life. The reptilians are known to be master genetic engineers. And the Greys were considered to be a failed experiment, and they were therefore relegated to slavery. They are basically used to do the reptilians' dirty work, including abduction of humans. And there are many people who are abducted worldwide that are not reported, and they're never brought back. Many abductees are brought back, but it depends on why they want you. If you're just a food item, if you abduct a child from a low-caste family in India, the cops don't care. You know, no one's going to report it. No one's going to take it to the news because they simply don't care. And those children can be abducted and we'll never hear about it. They'll never be counted. And the reptilians have agreed to basically remain underground for the most part, as long as we keep them supplied with food, which we do. Yeah. If you remember the livestock mutilations back in the 70s, where livestock all across America, and I think around the world too, were being mutilated. They were having all the blood, every drop of blood was drained from their bodies. Their organs were being cored out, their eyes, their sexual organs were sliced off with lasers, cored out with lasers. And humans were found mutilated in the same manner. It wasn't just livestock. The humans were covered up very quickly so that news never went out to the press. But the reason for these livestock mutilations was that the gray aliens do not have a digestive tract like we do. They don't have an esophagus, a stomach, none of that stuff. So in order to intake and excrete nutrients, they smear a liquid slurry on their skin and absorb it through their pores. The slurry is composed of hydrogen peroxide, which is a stabilizing and an antibacterial agent, and it is mixed with human blood and human or cattle blood and certain enzymes and hormones that they can get out of our various organs. And the reason that these livestock were being slaughtered and drained of their blood was to provide food for the grays. And that's also why a lot of people who've been on board spacecraft with the grays during abductions report that the Greys and their spacecraft smell terrible. It's because they've been smearing blood all over their skin, and it also comes back out through the pores. It's the only way they have to excrete waste. So it's nothing good, obviously. In the early 80s, the scientists at Lawrence Livermore Laboratories discovered a way to synthesize human blood in large quantities. When they did, the livestock mutilations, for the most part, ceased. The blood which is being synthesized at Livermore Labs is basically transferred to the Greys.
And have you seen any of the people that have gone through these sort of abductions and things like that? How has it actually affected them being on those ships? I mean, you yourself were abducted.
Oh, it's very bad. I've interviewed over 3,000 abductees myself over the past 20 years or so, and I've heard the same story over and over and over. I can tell them their story before they even tell me what happened to them by now. I've heard it so many times. And in my own case, the story was much the same in a lot of ways. And it makes a person very quickly, if you realize that you're an abductee, and most people never do, because they delete the memories, but they don't always do it perfectly. But most people who are abducted, I believe, will never realize it at all. But if you do realize it, you quickly become very desperate, I guess you'd say, to do anything you can to stop them from coming back. Because in my own case, they were coming at one point up to 3 times a week. And that's tremendously hard. You try to stay awake all night. You know, you think, if I can just stay awake, they won't take me. But it doesn't help. They can put you to sleep whenever they want you to go to sleep. Locked doors and windows don't help, because they literally can walk right through your walls. They can teleport into your house, or they can walk right through your walls. It's not science fiction. It's not magic. It's simply highly advanced physics. They can match their density to the density of a door or wall and step through it. Yeah. And I've seen an American military officer do the same thing once during a military abduction, during which they had Greys working for them during this abduction. They had special forces, and they had a couple Greys of their own. But the person who was in charge of this abduction at the time, I don't know what rank he was, but he had a chest, you know, one of those chess boards full of ribbons and stuff like they have. And they were going to abduct some people from another apartment in the building where I lived. And he simply stepped up. I'm told it's a device that can attach to the belt. I don't know that that's true. He stepped up to this door, and it was like a flashbulb lit off all around him. Just flash of light, and he was through the door. A few seconds later, he came out leading the people that lived there by the hands, opened the door from the inside, and walked out with them. So it's a technology that we don't anticipate. It's a technology that we don't expect or look for. And so that makes it even easier for them to get away with this. You very quickly develop paranoia. You very quickly become isolated because you have undergone a horrific experience. There's nothing fun about an alien abduction. It's all bad from my own experience. There's no such thing as a friendly abduction by definition. And most people who undergo these things for an extended period of time will end up developing post-traumatic stress disorder, shell shock, because there is no support group. There is no psychiatrist you can talk to. There's no one to tell at all. You might end up divorced.
What's interesting about that is that conspiracy theorists who find out that the world's run by ruthless criminal sociopaths often develop the same kind of disorders. And one of the most difficult parts about the disorder is that when you try to tell people the traumas that actually caused it to you, your brain naturally jumbles all the facts and details around as you're saying them, so that when somebody's listening to a very traumatized person talk about their experiences, it comes out all over the place, doesn't it? It makes it so much harder to understand what people are going through.
Well, it is very difficult because this whole thing is, all the conspiracies that conspiracy theorists talk about, they're all related in the end. They all tie together. And even the false flag events, I'm sure you're familiar with, and the 9/11 and all these things, the Illuminati, all of these things, they all tie together ultimately with alien contact. And so it quickly becomes such a vast conspiracy that takes in so many fields of knowledge and so many different groups of people that it becomes almost too big for us to get our heads around. Even though it's taking place right in front of our eyes many times, we can't see it for what it is. Chemtrails are included in that as well. There's nothing good about chemtrails. They're all to our disadvantage. And yet, there they are. I've seen them dozens of times myself. There's no denying that chemtrails exist, unless you're just living with your head in the sand. But the fact that they do exist, and the chemtrails they're worse than people imagine, because one of the things that they're doing, in addition to all the ones which are more relatively well known, they are inserting modified insect DNA into the components of chemtrails. We breathe it in because it all eventually comes down into the air we breathe, of course. We breathe these in, and this DNA has been modified in such a way that it can combine with our own DNA. People have actually had insects hatch under their skin, and that is a result of chemtrails. And it is difficult to imagine any American president or any American general officer who would order or allow such a thing to take place if they were in control. But they're not.
We just did a chemtrail protest on Sunday, actually. And I think we had a couple of new people there, right, who didn't actually know anything about them. They were just kind of like walking by, and they decided to join our protest. And I said, well, it's kind of difficult to explain it to you. All right. So there's like various levels of understanding of what they are. Like first level is, okay, it's something coming out of the back of planes. Second level of is aluminium, barium, and strontium. Next level, right, then you're getting into nanotechnology. And the level after, right, that, you're talking about DNA manipulation. And the level after that, you're talking about weather modification and using the chaff to spread scalar weapon waves and things of that nature. And you're talking about like a multifaceted agenda that you can see one effect from, right?
There
it's the only
many,
thing you can see.
Many purposes to chemtrails, and I'm sure I don't know all of them, but they are all of the things that you said and more. They spread Morgellons disease, which is a very terrible affliction. And if you ever, I think you can go on YouTube and find clips where people have taken these strands of fibers out of their skin from Morgellons disease, and they're alive. If they bring their hand close to these fibers, they try to attack their fingers and attach to them. They're like little living wriggling organisms.
What theorized about that is, if you've got these nanofibers that recycle themselves and manufacture themselves inside your body, I thought that they were like growing along the nervous system, right? So at some point you could send an electronic wave through the air, and it would affect the entire nervous system of everybody who's actually got these nanoparticles within their body, and they would just go and turn into a robot, essentially. But that's just
the
theory.
That's possible. I know that they're doing that with what they call smart dust. If you're familiar with smart dust, it's just it's like soot. It's like little tiny black particles that you can't even see in the air. But they've spread it worldwide through the chemtrails. There's 100% of the human population has already inhaled this smart dust. There's no escaping it now. It's in your lungs to stay. And it's said that they can utilize this, they can activate it from a satellite system, let's say, and it will do just as you were saying. It will give them control of what would then be effectively a zombie army.
It's really freaky out there, but there's also a number of cults that are starting up or have started up over the years that are trying to tell people that the alien agenda is all nice and friendly and fluffy, and they're going to do all these nice things for you and help you wake up and blah, 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 blah. And you don't think that way, though, on the other hand, do you?
Well, it simply can't be that way. It doesn't take a whole lot of research into alien contact to understand clearly that some of these aliens, not all of them, but some of them are quite hostile towards us. Some of them are intrusive and invasive. Some of them eat people. There's nothing friendly about that. I don't know what those people are really thinking of who think all aliens are here to be our friends. There's nothing friendly about an abduction experience. If they come into my room at 3 o'clock in the morning walking through my walls and they don't have stilettos and mascara on, they're not a friendly visitor. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I
mean, some kind of
an abduction.
Some kind of intergalactic booty call. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, well, it doesn't happen. That's right. And the abductions themselves are terrifying. They're intrusive. They're painful. The Greys don't care at all. And the military doesn't either, of course. But the Greys don't have any emotions like sympathy or kindness or mercy or compassion. They don't. They're like ants.
They're androgynous. Androids.
Yes, they don't have any method of reproducing naturally at all. They have to be cloned. They are a manufactured organism. They are grown. I understand they're grown underground in vats, and I'm sure that our military has their own supply of Greys by now. I've seen them at least twice in the company of the military, under the orders of the military during abduction events.
So what's your take on the people who are talking about Pleiadians and spiritual transformation, things like that?
Well, there are friendly races which exist. As we would expect, you know, the galaxy is a big place. There's room for a lot of different things out there, and we would expect that we would find friends and foes and races which don't care about us or are incompatible with us and therefore have no interest. And that seems to be the case. The Pleiadians are generally considered to be a friendly race, as are some others, but all the talk about the spiritual transformation, it doesn't take too hard of a look around us to see that no such transformation is taking place. There's just as much hatred and criminality in the world as there's ever been, perhaps more. We are not on the verge of ascending to some higher spiritual dimension. That is propaganda. Most of it is probably propaganda invented by a 15-year-old from his mom's basement, because apparently the Pleiadians have traveled here across the stars and through dimensions and forgotten to bring a bullhorn or a radio or even some leaflets to drop. And their best method of communicating with us is through discussion groups where 15-year-olds can write their words for them and give their message. They're mentally retarded. They're like the short bus of aliens, because if you need to communicate to 9 billion people, you don't do it one at a time through a Facebook discussion group.
And some guys, I was talking about this, and we were like, okay, let's say theoretically, there are positive aliens out there who do want to help us. Now, when you go up to a really immature child who has a penchant for violence and danger and things like that, is the first thing you do hand them advanced dangerous technology? No?
Well, I wouldn't think so.
Or is the first thing you do try to freaking train him out of everything he normally knows and does very, very slowly so that they can be introduced to all the new advanced stuff? Right?
Well, they're not training us at all, because they're reaching only if their message that we commonly hear, the only way we hear about it is in news groups and discussion groups. They haven't broadcast. I mean, don't tell me they don't have radio technology if they could get here. They could easily take over our transmissions and give a worldwide message. But apparently they are either prevented from doing so because they are not in control here and the hostiles are, and that's the way it seems to me, or they are unwilling to do so for some reason. Because obviously this change that they talk about is not taking place. The events that they predict will happen don't come to pass. Anyone who thinks that we have 10 invisible strands of DNA that we'll only see when we metamorphose to a higher spiritual plane is retarded. I mean, don't even tell me that. I've been around too long. There's no 10 invisible strands of DNA, and there's no blue avians.
Speaking of which, talking about the terror of the situation, right? I don't understand why people think that there's a mechanism for pleasure and ease of your life leading to something better. If anything, it's been pain and difficulty through life that leads to something better. Right? So I think it's more like, if you want to run a cult that will indoctrinate people who are lazy, don't think, don't really have any grasp on reality that's too strong, tell them everything that they want to hear. right? You'll have more than a big enough audience. Sure.
They want someone to come in and save them. And I consider them to, and a lot of people don't like to hear this because they are emotionally attached to their vision of their wonderful vision of sugar plums and fairies dancing through the sky. But it's not true. They're like children splashing around in the shallow end of the pool, and they're going to stay there for the rest of their lives because they won't listen to people that know what they're talking about and try to talk sense to them. These wonderful changes, where are they? There's no one has ever been able to demonstrate to me a single thing Pleiadians have done to help us on a global scale. Nothing.
Well, I've seen
Fukushima's killing our oceans. No one's helping us with that.
Well, I've seen some people go from complete obscurity to now having a huge fan club and a base and all these people and everything around helping them. And I'm thinking, man, there must be some help going on there, but I don't think it's extraplanetary. I think it's fucking CIA.
Or it could, yeah, well, sure, because a lot of these a lot of these new age books and publications are written by the intelligence agencies. And then they'll put a name on them like Star Fairy Moonbeam, and they'll publish it, you know, and it's propaganda. They love nothing better than people to be involved in the New Age thought, because when they are completely led down a dead-end path to nowhere, and they will spend their lives clapping each other on the back, telling each other how smart and wise they are, saying namaste every 30 seconds, and they'll never come close to threatening any of the secrets that they really want to keep. It's a perfect psychological warfare ploy, as is the flat earth theory.
Yeah.
It's just a way to get people to waste their time and energy. The only things you have that you can never replace, time and energy. You waste them, they're gone for good. And they convince these people, and they recruit others to their belief. I mean, good Lord, how are those flat earth people trying to convert people to their way of thinking? But it's not true. It's just psychological warfare.
Yep. But fortunately, though, there are flat earthers all over the globe. Now, we talked about
I wonder what kind of gravity might be holding him down, since there's no center of gravity to a flat earth.
Well, they believe that it's electric.
The moon is round and everything else is round and rotates. Yeah. I can't figure.
Apparently, everything that you can see with a telescope is NASA.
Yeah. Apparently
it's just, like, I'm looking at the moon, it's round. Oh, it's NASA that put it up there, bro. Oh, my God. You have to laugh about it, because otherwise you'd go freaking nuts.
It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to me as a human that we have people that are so ignorant they would think things like that. I mean, we all know better. Come on. The Earth isn't flat. It's not even possible. It doesn't make sense at all. Yeah. But to them, it does. It's a reflection on how great the degree of mind control has become over people and how effective those psychological warfare programs really are.
And what's interesting is it works two ways as well, because in the one way you're capable of sucking people in who don't do critical thinking, and on the other way you're capable of driving people who do critical thinking fucking insane listening to this shit.
yeah, and it wastes our time. I mean, in my job, it's incredible how much time is wasted by people that are completely delusional. I mean, I don't want to hear that you're a Pleiadian ambassador, people. You better have some ID printed on unobtainium if you want me to believe that, because to me, I can't imagine, first of all, that they would ever choose you to be an ambassador when they could take Stephen Hawking, for instance. But instead, it's these people that are the most unlikely seeming people you could imagine, you know, and they are, there's no reason to think that they're speaking the truth. They're most likely just desperate for attention. And there's a lot of people who claim to be channeling the friendly grays. They were channeling the friendly grays and the Bigfoot. He has a message of love and peace for us. Bullshit. It's not true. I'm from Bigfoot country. Don't tell me about Bigfoot. I'll tell you about Bigfoot. Roger Patterson's from my hometown. Bigfoot wanders through the forest naked. He doesn't use technology. He's not a space alien. And these people that claim to be channeling grays, friendly grays, they are con artists. They are con artists. They're trying to take advantage of people who are good enough to trust them and take them at their word to sell huge quantities of books. And they usually do get rich from it. But it's not true. None of it's ever been true.
Well, that is problematic as well, because when you're talking about the amount of disinformation that's actually out there about alien phenomena and that kind of thing, you leave people feeling confused. And indeed, that's why that's what the Operation Secret Services, the OSS, during World War II was actually created, to produce confusion. So that,
well, they're very good at it, aren't they?
Yeah. So during World War II, the Nazis had no idea where their communications were coming from. The OSS hijacked a train that was full of mail, put their own letters on the train addressed to these same Nazi officials, and then just put the train back on the track so that they're going in. And they're like, we can't trust our own officials, we can't trust each other, and that makes communication between people, especially open, honest communication between people within those kind of paradigms, almost impossible. And then you've got your enemy who comes in almost unresisted by comparison to what would happen if they didn't start a propaganda campaign against their enemies before attacking them. And now, do you feel that that's what we're being softened up for worldwide, you know?
I do think so. And they're recruiting a lot of people into becoming, they're recruiting people to subconsciously to assist them, in the sense that they are motivated to recruit people into the Flat Earth movement or the New Age Pleiadian friendly alien movement. And in effect, they are working against us. They are working for the wrong side without ever realizing it. And those people who come forth honestly, they're quite brave, I think, to do so. They are risking their lives, literally, to step forward into the light and tell their stories. But as a result of all the con artists and all the misinformation, which is the disinformation campaign is multi-level, multi-layered. You penetrate one layer, all you get to is another layer of disinformation. They've done an extremely thorough job. And because of all these things combined, and the media has trained the public to roll their eyes and dismiss anyone who says that they're, for instance, an alien abductee, to not believe them. It makes it very hard for serious, honest people who are just trying to tell a strange experience that happened to them as best they can to ever be taken seriously or to ever get any exposure, because they all tend to be grouped in the same group of conspiracy nuts, which, by the way, is a term that was invented by the CIA and spread to the press in order to discredit people who are getting too close to the real conspiracies.
Technically, they didn't invent the term conspiracy theorist. They were responsible for popularizing the term as for conspiracy theorists to discredit those who were questioning the Warren Commission that was trying to tell everybody that it was a lone gunman that shot JFK, that penetrated his body 7 times with a single round.
Right, and anyone that would believe that is they don't have any sense of logic, because those things are obviously impossible. I mean, I'm sure you've seen the extended Zapruder film by now. It shows clearly that the limo driver turns around and blows Kennedy's head off from the front seat. And you can't really get an entry wound in the forehead when a bullet is fired from behind you.
Well, one can only hope. Now, we're going to go off planet now, like literally here. And we're talking about the man-eating reptilian conglomerate. And you told me that they're in control of Earth, orbit, and Mars. All right? And that
the reptilians have been here for a long time.
Yeah.
If you look through human history, there are records all throughout history of alien contact. There can be only alien contact. They only had a certain number of caves to draw on. They didn't just waste it with graffiti. They put the most important messages that they wanted to pass on to the future on those walls, because they only had a certain number of them. And there are many, many instances of what are clearly aliens being drawn there, and clearly alien interference in our governments throughout history. And the reptilians have been here for many thousands of years. They may have been here the whole time that we've been here. And they have no intention of leaving. They do control the planet Mars. I'm told that the Tall Whites control the moon. This is why there are no public expeditions to either of those places, and there never will be, according to my information, in our lifetime, because they simply can't take the risk that some photos or films will come through which haven't been sterilized and sanitized, and they'll blow the cover off the whole thing. So we've got bases on both the Moon and Mars, and we have had for many years, many decades, and we are allowed to have them at the permission of the aliens as long as we stay out of their way and don't bother them. But those bases are part of the secret space program, which does not necessarily work for us at all. It's a completely separate civilization in a way. It's a breakaway civilization. In some cases, there are groups of humans who have made their own agreements with the aliens, notwithstanding any that governments may have made. They've made their own agreements, secret military groups that may have their own treaty that allows them to do things, and they don't care about us except as a source of funding for their programs. We don't get any of the benefits from these programs at all, but we're paying for all of them. The underground the system of underground roads and tunnels and bases and subways, which runs throughout the United States and probably beyond its borders, the estimated cost of that is $12 trillion plus. That's almost the entire size of our national debt. And they have absolutely no intention of letting any of us into those places. They're stocked with weapons, food, hydroponic plants, huge growing areas for food. They recycle all the air and water. They've got tanks. They've got artillery. They've got 25-ton blast doors like they use at NORAD headquarters, sealing the entrance to these places. They are prepared to live under there for hundreds of years, if necessary, without coming out. Somebody very powerful thinks that the surface world is going to become uninhabitable and that they are going to have to retreat underground. And when they do, they have no intention of letting us in. Our Department of Homeland Security, over the last 3 or 4 years, has purchased over 2 billion rounds of hollow point ammo and shotgun slugs. You don't use those things for practice, ever, because they cost too much. 2 billion rounds. The Department of Homeland Security, have they ever even fired a shot in anger? I haven't heard about it. 2 billion rounds. Who are they going to spend 2 billion rounds shooting? The only answer is us.
I always found it quite an ironic plan. Hey, you know, it'd be a really good idea when the Earth is really screwed up? What? Going underground in deep military bases with the world's worst pedophiles, rapists, and murderers, and child traffickers, and drug runners, and gun runners that the world's ever fucking seen. That would sound like a brilliant idea.
That's just going to be under there. They've got technology under. They don't build these with civilian technology. They've got technology that's far ahead of us. They don't use telephones. They use hologram phones like Help Me, Obi-Wan, that kind of a thing. And they've got a subway under there, which is a magnetic levitation subway. They're so expensive to build that only Tokyo in the whole world has one for civilian use. It's capable of traveling at least Mach 3. You can get on one of those subways in Los Angeles, and before you're done watching the first version of Star Wars, you'll be in Washington, D.C. And that is some extremely high technology, and it's something that we could certainly get a lot of use out of in the civilian world if they would release it to us. We could have rebuilt our whole infrastructure here for far less than the cost of this underground system of bases and railways.
Mm. Well, the goal here seems to be to make humans devolve, essentially. I don't see any of us getting, you know, smarter and way up there and getting better and better. I see us all getting dumber, slower, weaker, sicker, that kind of thing. And it seems to me like, I don't know, if there was an enemy force involved here, this would be what happens during a siege, essentially.
Yeah.
This is what you do to wear down your enemy.
We're not going to blow apart our cities with laser blasters because that's wasteful. And it's not necessary. They're, as you say, they're dumbing us down intentionally. Everything that we're taught in school, we take it to be the truth, but really almost none of it is the truth. It's a tapestry of lies which are carefully woven together to form a simulation of reality which we take to be the truth. But nothing works the way we think it does. The truth is always hidden underneath, and it's very different than what we believe. The aliens don't have any need to invade us with a military force, for instance. It's not going to be like War of the Worlds. They don't have to. The reptilians are very patient beings. They've existed for many hundreds of millions of years with high technology. They don't know what rushing means. They don't have to be in a hurry. And so what they are doing now is some of these alien races, including the Greys and the Reptilians, are creating hybrids with human abductees. And they are using our young, vital, strong, diverse DNA to mix with their own. And then when they produce a hybrid, they have a creature which is half alien and half perfectly adapted to Earth. And then they simply insert them. Many of them look just like us. You can't tell them apart. And they insert them into the population to live, work with us, ride the bus to work with us, breed with us, marry us, and eventually pass their genetics on to the next generation. And if you have enough hybrids and enough patients, you can change the entire genetic footprint of humanity into something which is not human as we know it. And they seem to be working towards that, and also including bionics in this too, the transhumanism. They seem to have that as a goal in mind, something which is a combination of all three of those things. It is a way to conquer a planet without firing a shot, in a way.
Yeah. And that's what you do. In fact, I was watching a video the other day and said that if aliens did invade us, what would it really look like? And the guys were just saying you wouldn't see it happen. You'd be dead.
It's not going to be an alien invasion because it's already happened.
Yeah, exactly. And what they were talking about is when you're talking about alien technology and things like that, like things like scalar waves, for example, where you could literally wipe out the entirety of the planet, make everybody's heart just stop beating within 12 seconds, all right, by firing one scalar pulse planet-wide and reflected over the with over-the-horizon radar. Boom. Everybody did. It's going to be that quick, that easy, if we were up against a technologically advanced alien race that actually wanted to kill us. All right.
If they wanted to kill us, it would be very easy.
Yeah.
And
but what do they want with us?
If they drop a big enough rock from orbit, and it'd wipe us out.
Yeah, but what do they want with us? I mean, if they're so advanced and they've got such contempt for us, why keep us alive? And I thought about this before the show. I was like, if I came across a creature that had some kind of industrial use to me, and I was way smarter than them, and had way better technology, I'd farm them.
Well, that's what they're doing, isn't it? We are a DNA farm, and we are considered by the reptilians, and perhaps others as well, to just be livestock on the hoof. Reptilians have an average IQ of 200. That's twice what we are. If reptilians had mini-marts and people working graveyard shifts in them, the person working there at the graveyard shift would have 45 IQ points over Einstein. That's how smart we're talking about. Yes, we are a DNA farm. The reptilians value DNA highly. It is a currency to them. It's a source of currency. And these races need to occasionally hybridize with others in order to keep themselves from becoming extinct, ultimately, because DNA, as it turns out, their medical science has shown very clearly that DNA has a timer built into it. And at some point, that timer is going to expire. When it does, the DNA has basically become worn out. It's lost its elasticity. It's lost its variability, let's say. So with human beings, it would be, for instance, when we all have interbred so long that there's only one race left, and it's kind of a mishmash of all the races we used to have, then that's the kind of thing that happens. When the timer goes off, it becomes progressively more difficult to reproduce naturally. And eventually, it becomes impossible, and you have to resort to cloning. Cloning is an imperfect science. With every generation that's cloned, you lose a little bit of information from the previous generation through mutations. You might clone someone with a mutated cell, from a mutated cell, or you might lose a slight amount of the information through the process of cloning. And eventually, as the generations go by, these clones become less and less efficient. They live shorter lives. And eventually, it becomes impossible, apparently, to even reproduce by cloning. And at that point, the species will become extinct unless they can find a way to hybridize themselves with another intelligent race, in which case the DNA timer will be reset to zero. And that's what's going on right here.
Is it kind of like humans keep claiming that we want to merge with machines and the aliens actually want to merge with us? It's kind of like Ghost in the Shell, genetic style, right?
Sure, because as it turns out, we are the dumbest, least advanced so-called intelligent race known to any of them. We are the basic format of intelligent life, let's say. So their DNA is infinitely more complex than ours, I would presume. But because our DNA is comparatively so simple and so basic compared to theirs, it makes us much easier to work with in terms of creating hybrids, because we have less DNA to be bothered with. So when it comes to creating a hybrid between them and us, they want the simplest DNA they can find. And our DNA is young, it's strong, it's warlike, it's aggressive. We've got tremendous versatility and variability throughout the human population. And to them, that's just what they're looking for, because it's not easy even for these incredibly advanced races to create hybrids. That's a tough call. I mean, we are 98% of the same genetics as a monkey, as a chimpanzee, but that 2% makes a lot of difference. So our DNA is not unique. It is almost certainly of alien origin itself. And that's why so many of these aliens look so much like humans. They don't look like us. We look like them, because our genetics, in part, came from them originally.
Yeah, we
and that's
created.
Why so many aliens look so much like humans.
Yeah, we were created in their image.
Yes. Yeah. And the story of creation in Genesis, by the way, is a simplified template for terraforming a planet. You start out with the oceans, life in the oceans, put plants on the land, and you work your way up. And it's basically a template for terraforming a planet. And our planet right now is being terraformed by our military and by the aliens to the specs of the reptilians. It is becoming darker. It is becoming hotter. The oxygen content is going down. The methane and radiation content is going up. These chemtrails are playing a big part in this. We've got methane leaks. We've got thousands of them in the Americas that aren't even capped. They just let them keep leaking because we are being terraformed even as we speak.
Mm. And that's what all the terrorism is about, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, okay, well, last thing we wanted to talk about here was how NASA was designed as a public propaganda tool to make sure people never figure out what's going on in space, and who also funnel some of their budget into our nice secret space program, which they don't want anybody really finding out about. And we're also in the biggest global disinformation campaign to ever occur surrounding this whole alien phenomenon. And we better hope that disclosure never happens, because the truth about alien contact is very frightening, because we're ants in an ant farm.
That's right. The more you learn about alien contact, the scarier it gets, and the less power we have, and the more you realize it, because we are surrounded by a multitude of different alien civilizations, any one of which could destroy us at will. All they've got to do is drop a big rock on our heads and we're toast, if you think about it. And of course, that they're not by any means limited to that option. But NASA itself has always had the purpose of putting on the front the appearance of being a civilization or a civilian-run space exploration group, which explores space and tells us what it finds there. It's never been that, in fact.
Mm. All right, Derek, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, Derek Tyler is his name. If you are interested to read about his abduction cases and, of course, other things, you can read his book. It's Alien Contact, The Difficult Truth on Amazon. That's Alien Contact, The Difficult Truth by Derek Tyler. Thank you very much for coming on with me today. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for supporting me on Patreon for $1 a month, or go to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com and donate today, because let's face it here, we just want to be open, we just want to be honest, and it's difficult to sell products while you're doing that. That's why we get supported by the community. That's you. Thank you very much. See you after the break.